Open your Bibles with me to 2 Peter. It's a good day. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I just was thinking about Miss Ann is faithful to come and pray, and she comes on Saturday evenings and pray. How in the world, Miss Ann, did you find us? The marquee. Well, it was more than that. I know God sent you here. And I was thinking about Miss Ann this morning, about how that's just amazing how the Lord sent her here. And you know, it can be said about each and every one of you. God brought you here. The Lord brought you here. The Lord has assembled you here and put it in your heart to be here. And for that, I'm very grateful and very thankful and very honored to be your pastor and to have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you and lead you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So, hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1 is where we're going. And as I was preparing this message, I intended to start in verse 16. And then I thought, well, I need to back up to verse 12. And then I thought, well, I need to back up to verse 5. And then I thought, well, might as well back up to verse 1. So that's where we're going to start, and at least I did it in my preparation and not after I got up here, but which would have been fine too. But did we pray over the Word already? Hallelujah. All right. I'm not getting older. My mind is renewed. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. It's prayed over in prayer this morning. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for your word, and we open our hearts to receive it, and we thank you that you give to each one of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father, I thank you the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. And Lord, I thank you that you speak to our hearts. You've already spoken to us today through the worship and through the words that have been given. But Lord, I thank you that you continue to speak to us right now by your Holy Spirit. Make these words alive to our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Praise God. So let's begin in verse 1 of the book of 2 Peter. This is the second letter that Peter wrote to the believers. And it's Scripture. It's the Bible. Amen. It's God's Word. It's not just what Peter thought and wrote. It's inspired. And it's God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's stop right there. Who's he writing to? He's writing to you and me, isn't he? He's writing to anyone who has obtained or received, margin of my Bible says received, like precious faith with us. How? By the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. By one man, Paul wrote in Romans 5, by one man's act of righteousness, then righteousness came to all of us. Amen. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I want to stop right there and make some comments and look at these verses here. So he says here, grace and peace are multiplied to us. Praise God. That sounds good, doesn't it? We need grace, don't we? Grace is God's favor. Grace is God's empowerment, God's ability. And he says that grace can be multiplied. So there can be more measures of grace given to us. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm interested in that. I'm interested in more grace being given to me. He says, grace and peace being multiplied to you. When you do have children that are in the nations of the world, you need the peace of God multiplied to you to keep your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So grace and peace can be multiplied to us, but how does that come? He tells us how grace and peace are multiplied. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So grace and peace, the increase and the multiplication of it in our lives is connected to the and corresponds to the knowledge of God that we have. Now, again, we're not just talking about a head knowledge. We're talking about a heart knowledge. We're talking about revelation from God's Word. Amen? But we are talking about God's Word. The knowledge of God comes through His Word. Amen. And we keep reading here, and he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God, as His divine power has given to us all things." How many things? I like this. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, what more is there? That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, how do we access that? How does that come to us? Again, through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So I want to point out to you what he's talking about. He talks about the knowledge of God. He talks about the knowledge of Him. And he talks about exceedingly great and precious promises. That's his central theme. That's the constant in all these statements that he's making to us here. It's the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Him. It's exceedingly great and precious promises. He's talking about knowing God through the way that God has revealed Himself. And that is through His Word. Amen. Amen. He's talking about knowing what belongs to us. He's talking about knowing and discovering who we are in Christ, who God has made us to be in redemption. And the only way we can know that is through the written Word of God. Smith Wigglesworth, the great apostle of faith, how many of you've heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Raise your hand if you've heard of him. Put your hands down. If you've never heard of this man, put your hand up. You never heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Well, a few of you need to tell you about Smith Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth lived in the early part of the 20th century. I think he went to heaven in 1948, maybe, and he would have been in his 80s. I think 87 when he went to heaven. So he was born in the 1800s. I guess been born around 1860. I guess I don't know the exact, but anyway. That's when he lived, and I don't remember exactly when he was saved, but he didn't start in the ministry until he was 50 years old and had a phenomenal ministry that touched the world and reached the world. And he is reportedly 23 people were raised from the dead through his ministry. That's pretty good. That's a pretty powerful ministry. Countless thousands, tens of thousands of people were healed through his ministry. He was known for his boldness. Some people would call it being abrupt. He was known for people would come on the platform where he was ministering and he would be ministering healing. He would be known for people who had growths or tumors. He'd just hit them right where the tumor was. Well, God told him to. If God tells you to do it, you know, where I wouldn't recommend it otherwise. And one time he did that. It was a lady that she had this huge cancerous tumor in her body, and the ushers were holding her up, and Wigglesworth said, "Let her go." And so they said, "No, we can't do that. She'll fall. You know, this will hurt her." He said, "Let her go." And so they let her go, and she fell, and nothing happened. They got her up again. Let her go. There was a medical doctor there. And so she fell the second time. They thought she was dead. And the doctor got up and said, "You beast, you've killed her." So in a moment, the woman got up completely and totally healed. Tumor vanished. Wow. And so he was known for his boldness. He was known for just being sensitive to the Spirit of God. But here's what Wigglesworth said. He said this. He said, "I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. God is everything the Word says He is. We need to get acquainted with Him through the Word." Amen. That was the success of, or the secret of Wigglesworth's success. Hallelujah. And it will be the secret to our success as well. Praise God. So he's talking about knowing God through his word. That's why we are encouraging you, get into the word of God. Get into the word for yourself. You're hearing the word preached and taught, and I'm gonna be here every Sunday and every Wednesday giving you the word of God, feeding you the word of God. But you need to get into the word of God for yourself to read it. Amen. And so that's why we're promoting it. That's why we're encouraging you here at the beginning of the year. Get into a habit of reading and studying the word of God for yourself, because that's how you're going to come to know God. That's how grace and peace are going to be multiplied to you. That's how you're going to access all things that have been given to you that pertain to life and godliness. That's how these exceedingly great and precious promises are going to come to you to be a partaker of this divine nature. Amen? Amen. Praise God. 2 Peter 1 verse 4 in God's Word translation. I'm going to be reading some this morning, quite a few verses out of God's Word translation. It says this in verse 4, through His glory and integrity, He has given us His promises that are of the highest value. Through His glory and integrity, He has given us His promises that are of the highest value. And again, going back to what we were talking earlier during communion, we need to rediscover and we need to recognize the value of the promises of God and the value of the written Word of God. The reason a person wouldn't read their Bible, is because they don't really, truly recognize the value of it. But when you recognize the value of the promises of God, when you recognize the value of the Word of God, then you're going to get into it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because this book is not like any other book. See, we're not talking about a mental or an intellectual study or application of the Scripture. We're not studying the Bible as a history book. We're not studying the Bible as a philosophy book. What we're doing is we're partaking of the life that's in the Word of God. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they're life." Amen? So we're partaking of the life that's in God's Word. We're partaking of the divine nature that's in the Word of God. Amen. And he says, when we, through these exceedingly great and precious promises, we partake of the divine nature. Amen. Now, Peter talked about that in his first letter as well. If you go back to chapter, or 1 Peter, and look at chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 23, and again, I want to read it out of God's Word translation. I believe we have that on the screen for you. You probably don't have that. If you have a phone, you might be able to pull it up. But look at this. This is 1 Peter 1, 23. Look at it with me. You have been born again, not from a seed that can be destroyed, but through God's everlasting Word that can't be destroyed. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will not pass away." This Word... Now, this Bible, this physical Bible may be destroyed one day, probably will be one day eventually, but the words that are on these pages will never pass away. And the words that are on these pages, you can get them down on the inside of you. And they're eternal. And through these words, we partake of the divine nature. Amen. He said, we're born again. You've been born again, not of a seed that can be destroyed, but through God's everlasting Word that can't be destroyed. See, when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God's everlasting Word came into you. You were born again through that Word. Amen. Amen. That's why Scripture says, verse 24, all people are like grass, and all their beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass dries up, and the flower drops off, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. This word is the good news that was told to you. So that when they heard the gospel, when they heard the good news they received, that's God's eternal word coming on the inside of them. So he goes into chapter 2, and he says, so get rid of every kind of evil, every kind of deception, hypocrisy, jealousy, and every kind of slander. In verse 2, he says, desire God's pure word as newborn babies desire milk, then you will grow in your salvation. I like that. Desire God's pure word. Hallelujah. God's word. Why? Because he says when you do that, you'll grow in your salvation. God's word is spiritual food for us. That's how you grow. Amen. You know, most of us probably did a good job of eating over the holidays, didn't we? And maybe we started growing in some places we don't necessarily want to grow in. But bottom line is you need food. You have to eat food in order to grow, don't you? If a baby doesn't get milk, that baby is going to die. That baby is not going to grow and develop. And spiritually speaking, we have to have the milk of God's word. And then as we grow, we add the meat of the word. Scripture talks about the meat of God's word. Why? So that we can grow. So Peter's talking about growing spiritually. That ought to be a goal. Pastor Carl talked about goals that were altruistic. They're not just about ourselves, but one goal that you should make for yourself that will affect other people is you should determine in 2015 you're going to grow spiritually. Amen. That you're not going to, by the time you get to the end of this year, they're going to look back and say, well, I have grown spiritually. Amen. Well, the only way to do that is to get into God's word. If you don't get into His word, you probably won't. If you do get into His word, you will. I guarantee you will. Amen. He talks about growing spiritually. He talks about growing in our salvation. Let's go back to 2 Peter again, chapter 1, and let's pick up in verse 5. We read through verse 4. Let's pick up in verse 5. And again, I want to read this next few verses out of God's Word translation. So he's got through telling them. He talks about the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus. And he talks about exceedingly great and precious promises. And by these we partake of the divine nature. And then he starts out with this after he said that. He says, because of this word and because of these promises that you're partaking of that causes you to partake of God's divine nature inside you. He says, because of this, make every effort to add integrity to your faith. And to integrity, add knowledge. To knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, add endurance. To endurance, add godliness. To godliness, add Christian affection. And to Christian affection, add love. You know, there are some additives that we need. I mean, you know, you can see all in, you know, different. Anybody ever, if you buy your gas, I started to say your groceries, I gave it away. If you buy your gas at a particular grocery store, there's that annoying thing, you know, that wants you to buy that additive. Yes. Use Additech. You know, I always, as quick as I can, I hit the no button. Beep. Yeah. You shut that guy off. But he's wanting you, they're wanting you to put that additive in, you know. I don't know, you may use it, it may help you, but I never use it. But they're trying to sell you all kinds of additives. Well, here's some additives that you really need. Here's some additives to your faith, the things that we're to add to our faith that we're actually to build on. What he's talking about is building on the foundation. Amen. You know, for a long time after I got saved, I thought that's all there was. I thought I got my ticket punched or stamped for heaven. I thought that's it now. You know, I prayed the prayer. I genuinely got saved. I genuinely asked the Lord into my heart, and thank God for the church I grew up in preached the new birth, and I got saved. Amen. Amen. But for a long time, I thought that's all there was. You just got your ticket punched to heaven. You just kind of go along, make it the best you can in life down here. I didn't know that I was to grow in my salvation. I didn't know that I was to add some things to my faith. I thought that was it. But we're to grow, amen? We're to add these things. And it's kind of like, a foundation. Now, if you're building a house, the foundation is of utmost importance, isn't it? You can't build a house without a foundation. But when you're building a house, you don't stop. I remember 14 and a half, well, actually 15 years ago now when we started the house. We moved in 14 and a half years ago. When we started building our house, I remember, you know, when they graded out and when they poured the foundation. Well, after the foundation was poured and it took some time for it to cure, well, we didn't get our stuff together and go move in. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? Wouldn't that be silly if, you know, 14 years later, you come driving down our driveway and there's a foundation there and we got all our stuff would have been in trouble last night with all this rain, huh? Yeah. We built the foundation and we're so happy with our foundation. We love our foundation. We don't live on just the, now the foundation's critical. Now we could not, it would have been stupid to go and try to build the house go 50 feet away from where the foundation is and try to build the house. That wouldn't stand. That would fall, wouldn't it? That wouldn't work. You have to build the house on the foundation, but you do build the house.
Yes.
It's like people stopping. You know, a foundation would be faith for salvation. It's like stopping there. A foundation would be like understanding God's love for you. That's a foundation. That we build on that. But you don't stop there. You grow. Amen. There's other things to add. There's other things to build on. Thank God for God's love and an awareness. And we can't get away from that. It's the foundation. We can't get away from the awareness and the consciousness and talking about God's love for us or talking about our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. But we grow. We add. We build on that foundation. And he's talking about some things to add here. Add integrity. That's keeping your word. Add knowledge. Add self-control. Add endurance. Add godliness. Add Christian affection. Add love, the God kind of love. He says in verse 8, now, if you have these qualities and they are increasing, it demonstrates that your knowledge about our Lord Jesus Christ is living and productive. Well, that's good, isn't it? That's how our knowledge about Jesus Christ ought to be, living and productive. That's what I said earlier. We're not wanting to gain knowledge from a head knowledge perspective or from, oh, well, I know this book of the Bible was written in this year and, you know, and so this was the circumstances surrounding it and these are the major points. And, you know, it's getting it in your heart to where that's becoming, it's bearing fruit in your life. It's bringing forth life because it is alive. It's the living Word of God.
Amen.
It demonstrates that your knowledge about our Lord Jesus, the New King James says, is neither barren nor unfruitful. So God's Word says that your knowledge about our Lord Jesus Christ is living and productive. If these qualities aren't present in your life, you're short-sighted and have forgotten that you were cleansed from your past sins. It's short-sighted not to want to grow spiritually. It's short-sighted just to want to stay in a babyhood stage of spiritual growth. Amen. We want to grow. We don't want to be short-sighted. Amen. We want to recognize that, you know, not being short-sighted means that you recognize sowing and reaping.
Amen.
Being short-sighted says what's going to benefit me today and what's going to be the best for me today. But if you're not short-sighted, if you're long-term vision, then you're going to say, hey, I need to sow a seed today if I want to have a harvest tomorrow.
Right.
If you're not short-sighted, then you're going to say, I'm not living just for today. I'm living for eternity. I'm storing up treasures in heaven. I want to affect people's lives for eternity. I'm not making a decision just based on what feels good for me today. I'm living for heaven. I'm living for eternity. I'm sowing seed for a harvest down the road.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, let's go verse 10. I'm going to pick back up in the New King James now. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you'll never stumble. By the way, the title of this message is, I forgot to give it to you, it's called Sure and Secure. Sure and Secure. And he says, if you do these things, you'll never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thought about this scripture when our dear friend Tom Rogers passed and went to be with the Lord just a few days ago, December the 18th, when he went to be with the Lord. I thought about this scripture, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that Tom experienced an abundant entrance into that everlasting kingdom. I believe he was welcomed in with great fanfare. Why? Because he'd lived his life for the Lord. Because he'd lived his life in faith. He was a man of faith who trusted God and who lived by faith and who desired to bless others. I don't know if I said this in the, I had two messages going in my heart that day. And so I talked a little bit about Tom that Sunday morning. And then I, of course, did the funeral service. So I can't remember which time I said it. But, you know, God had given him a dream. In a dream, he saw himself with a wheelbarrow full of Bibles at the courthouse square here in Cumming, passing out Bibles. And he told me about it months and months ago. And he came into church not too long before he passed, maybe just a couple of months, if that long, maybe 6 weeks. And he said, "Well, Pastor, I did it." I said, "You did what?" He said, "I passed out the Bibles." Amen. He said, "I went to the courthouse square, and I stood at the courthouse square, and I passed out the Bibles." Hallelujah. Who knows how many people will be reached and how God's going to use that. Amen. Now, a lot of us wouldn't have done that, just to be honest, wouldn't we? But Tom was bold. He wasn't ashamed of Jesus. I believe he experienced an abundant entrance. Amen. I believe that he endeavored to he added these qualities by the grace of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about doing this apart from God's grace and God working in us. It's through his Spirit working in us that we add these things, not in our own self-effort. We're not talking about that. But we do have a part to play. Amen? Amen. We have to cooperate with him. And so I believe, though, that Tom had an abundant entrance, as it says here, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the question I have for you today and for myself today, how do you want to enter heaven? Because you are going to enter one day.
Amen.
Right. Amen. You are going to enter in one day. How do you want, what kind of entrance do you want into heaven? Look at, Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So look at that scripture with me. Is everybody doing all right so far?
Yes.
1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm reading this passage is out of the New Living Translation. It'll be on the screen. He says, "Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it." So again, he's talking about the foundation, and he's talking about building on that foundation. "But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ." So Jesus is our foundation. Faith in Jesus, faith in what Jesus has done, that's our foundation. That's our foundation. Verse 12, he says, "Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw." Remember the three little pigs?
Yeah. Yeah.
I always think about the three little pigs when I read this scripture, don't you? The big bad wolf came and blew down the house that was made out of straw. The house that was made out of sticks, but the one little pig, he was smart. He was building with brick, wasn't he? Not even hardy plank. I mean, he used brick. And the big bad wolf, he huffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed, but he couldn't blow the house down, could he? And you know, the wise little pig was merciful. He let his brothers come in and take refuge there. So all was well, and they ended up. The wolf came down the chimney and into the fireplace, and they cooked him and ate him. So, talk about a barbecue. All right. How do we get off on that? All right. Our foundation is Jesus. Oh, how we build. All right. Anyone who builds on that foundation. So the foundation is Jesus Christ, but then our life, then, we're building on that foundation. So what are you building with? What material are you building with? Are you using hay and straw? Are you using gold and silver? He says in verse 13, "On the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss." The builder will be saved. Why? Because he's got the foundation laid, and that's Jesus. Amen. "The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames." You know, that's how some folks are going to get to heaven. Barely escaping through a wall of flames. They're going to get to heaven. You know, smoke's going to be rising off of them. And, you know, the Lord's going to be, whew, you smell like smoke, you know. Well, I'm here. You know, instead of, you know, Jesus is going to be able to say to some folks, well done, good and faithful servant. Others, he's going to say, well, you're done. You made it. Amen. Well, I don't want to just make it, do you? I want to have an abundant entrance. Amen. And so how we build on this foundation is important. What we do, the decisions that we make and adding to our faith, these things that Peter talked about, that's important. Amen. And how are we going to do that? Through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Amen. So let's get back to that. 2 Peter chapter 1, go back to verse 12 now. Everybody still doing all right? Praise God. All right, verse 12, he says, for this reason, again, he, for what reason? Well, all the things he just talked about. Yeah, talking about that abundant entrance and having that in our lives. Verse 12, for this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. So Peter, he says, I'm reminding you of these things. I'm reminding you. I'm giving you God's Word. See, a lot of times when we read God's Word, it may not be something new. He said, well, I've read that before. Well, you need to read it again. I've read through the Bible. I was talking on Christmas Day. We were, as our custom is, we go over to Robin's mom's for Christmas breakfast, and there's, I don't know how many, there's probably 50, I guess close to 50 of us. I always say 50. I don't know if it's quite that number, but there's always a big gathering there, and it's really wonderful. But I was talking with Robin's oldest brother, Clark, and he was talking about his youngest grandson who's in first grade. I guess is he seven yet? Has he turned seven? Maybe just seven. But he's quite a character, this little guy. And I'll just give you an idea. I had my Georgia Tech sweatshirt on, and that Robin had given me. I wouldn't have worn it otherwise, but she gave it to me for Christmas. So of course I donned it and wore it over to into the Lions Den. A bunch of Bulldog fans over there, and so this little guy saw me. And at Thanksgiving he was all right. At Thanksgiving we were over there. He said, "I like Georgia and Georgia Tech." So but something had happened. Maybe it was that game, you know, between the two. But something had happened, and so he saw me, and he said, Tech fan. He said, I hate Tech fans. I kill Tech fans. First grader. So I was talking to Clark, and he started talking about him, and he said, yeah, he said, he is. He said, if he's got his mind made up about something, he said, you can't change it. He said, I told him, he said, come on, he said, why don't we sit down here and read something? Why don't we work on your reading? He said, I already know how to do that. I already know how to read. First grader. I already know how to read. No need in reading anymore. I learned that already. Well, unfortunately, he's immature in his thinking, isn't he? He needs to know, hey, there's more. There's more to learn. There's more in this. You may know some of the basics of how to read a little bit, son, but, you know, you need to keep going. Well, that's the way some Christians are. You talk to them, I already know how to do that. I already know about that. Well, no, you may know a little bit about it, but look at what he says here. He says, I'll not be negligent to remind you of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. So there's three levels here. The first one is knowing a truth. Knowing the Word of God, generally the truth, or knowing a specific truth or principle from God's Word is one thing to know about it. I learned a long time ago, just because I heard something taught and just because I could maybe even express it, didn't necessarily mean I was established in it, though. You know, because when I tried to put it into practice in my life, I found out, whoa, I don't know this quite as well as I think I do. Come on. He says, even though you know and are established in the present truth, so level one, step one is knowing that truth. But then step two is being established in that truth. And we need to be sure and secure in the truth. Sure and secure in the Word of God. And how are you going to get that? You're going to get that by knowing God through His Word. You're going to become established in His Word. Amen. When you're established, the devil can't move you. When you're established, you're like a tree, the Bible says, planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Amen. And so he says, you know it and you're established. He says, but even though you know it and even though you're established in it, I'm not going to back off and say, well, you don't need to hear this anymore. I'm going to tell it to you again. I'm going to remind you again. Why? Because you need to be stirred up in it. He says, I think it's right as long as I'm in this tent to stir you up by reminding you. Because you can get established in a truth and have it integrated in into your life and living it and working in your life. But you know, if you aren't careful, you can just kind of think, oh, well, you know, that's nice and everything. No, we need to get stirred up about the things of God and the Word of God and the great truths and realities and principles of God sometimes. Amen? We need to get stirred up so they're real and alive and fresh to us again. Amen. Peter said, I'm going to stir you up by reminding you. We're going to do some stirring up this year. Amen. Hallelujah. Probably might not be anything you've not heard or don't know, but we're going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So he goes on verse 14, knowing. He said, the reason I'm doing this, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. He says, I'm about to check out here. I am about to depart. Moreover, he says, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And thank God he did. He wrote it down. Amen. Amen. He wrote it down first. But you know, but if you know you're about to leave, you're going to share with people the things that are most important, aren't you? Come on, let me tell you some things here. And so Jesus did that before he went to the cross. And then after his resurrection, before he ascended to heaven, he shared with his disciples the most important things. And here Peter is doing the same thing. He said, the reason I'm reminding you of these things, he says, because I'm about to check out of here. And I don't want you to lose sight of this. I don't want this to die out with this generation. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So verse 16, we're finally to the place where I was going to start this morning. Here we go. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. Peter's talking about the experience recorded in Matthew 17 and Mark chapter 9, I think it is. Yep, Mark chapter 9. What we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter and James and John went on that mountain with Jesus, and the voice spoke, or the glory was there. And before the voice spoke, the glory was there. Jesus was transfigured, was shining brighter than the sun. Peter said, it's good. Moses and Elijah appeared. Peter said, it's good. You know, nobody knew what to say, so Peter said, somebody needs to say something, so I'll say something. So Peter said, hey, let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And about that time, a voice from heaven spoke, I think probably in a corrective tone. This is My beloved Son. Listen to Him. In other words, you don't need to be talking right now, Peter. Excuse me. So he heard this voice. But then he says this, in verse 19, and we have the prophetic word confirmed. In the margin of my Bible, it reads this way, we also have the more sure prophetic word, which ye will do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now, so he says we have the prophetic word confirmed, or we have the more sure prophetic word. Well, what's he talking about? The point he's making is we had this experience I was on the mountain. I saw Moses. I saw Elijah. I saw Jesus glorified and transfigured. And that was great. But he said, you know, we've got something even more sure than this experience I had. Don't lose me now. Stay with me. He says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, a more sure prophetic word. Well, what is that? Well, he tells us in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture. Scripture. So the Scripture, the written word of God, is a more sure word than that incredible experience. We believe in experiences. We believe in supernatural experiences. But we put the word of God first. I had a very notable dream on September the 2nd of last year, where in this dream I saw Jesus. I never had dreamed a dream like that before, where I saw Jesus and Jesus came on the scene. That was real to me. But I've got something more real.
Amen.
I've got a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. The written word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And Peter said, that's what you need to hold on to. I had this experience, but this experience only confirmed the written word. It's not extracurricular to it. It didn't add to it. It only confirmed it. Any supernatural experience, anything, any manifestation, it ought to confirm the word of God, never add to it. Amen. Any miracle, any supernatural experience, you ought to be able to find it in the Bible. Now, I'm trying to help you right now. There's a lot of junk going on out there under the name of supernatural. And it is supernatural, but it's not supernatural from God. The Bible talks about lying signs and wonders. Amen. So be careful. Amen. And you'll be fine. And we'll be fine as long as we stick with the Word of God. Keep the Word of God first place. Let the Word of God be your guide. Let the Word of God judge. Okay, this experience, this manifestation, is it in line with the Scripture? Is it in line with the Word of God? If I can't find it in the Word of God, then no, I'm not going to accept it. Hello?
Amen.
Amen. All right, so let's keep looking at this for just a moment here. He says, so he's talking about, again, he's talking about the Scripture. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture as of any private interpretation, verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about the written word of God. The Weymouth translation, I like what he says, how that reads. I'm going to read it to you, and I think we have it. Yeah, we got the Weymouth there. Verse 19 in the Weymouth, and in the written word of prophecy, we have something more permanent, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dimly lighted place. Let me read that again. In the written word of prophecy, we have something more permanent. Amen. You get that? We have something more permanent, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dimly lighted place. So again... A verse, the New King James, it says, you'll do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. So what are we to do with the Scripture? What are we to do with the written Word of God? It says we're to heed it, or we're to pay attention to it as if we were in a dark place and we see a light in that dark place. Imagine that you're in a cave. I don't know if you've ever been in a cave or not, but if you're in a cave and it's dark, and you're lost, and you don't know how to get out of the cave. But you see, well, there's light right over there. What are you going to do? You're going to pay attention to that light, aren't you?
Amen.
You're not going to take your eyes off that light, are you? That's exactly how we need to be with the written word of God. The Bible says, Isaiah prophesied, and he said, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness to people. And so we're in that place right now in the world. But there's darkness. But thank God we've got a light. We've got His Word. And we're going to pay attention to that Word as a light shining in a dark place. Amen. Hallelujah. Until the day dawns, He says, and the morning star rises in your heart. Hallelujah. So God reveals himself to us through his word. He wants to multiply grace and peace to us. How's it going to come? Through the knowledge of God, through knowing him, through these great and precious promises. I hope I've stirred you up to get into the word of God. I hope I've stirred you up to put the word of God and keep the word of God first place in your life. Amen. That means to take some time every day. Hallelujah. Join with me. Let's read that chapter. Let's read that chapter every day. If you want to do more, then praise God, do more. But at least do that. At least do that and get that word in you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And in so doing and getting the word in you, you're partaking of that divine nature. We've been born again. We've got the divine nature in us. But when we partake of his promises, it just releases that divine nature and that divine life that's in seed form on the inside of us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father.